Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the CS School podcast. My name's Grace Gutzer, and I'm a copywriter here at Customer Success Collective. The objective of this podcast is simple. We speak with CS professionals from all over the world, learning about the hottest topics in customer success by stripping them back to basics and discovering how best to apply these strategies. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Hay Kingston, and in this episode, we're going to be talking all about value-led customer success frameworks. I hope you're ready. Hi, Haig. Thank you so much for coming on the CS School podcast. How are you today?
Absolute pleasure. I'm very well, thank you. And how are you doing?
Really well, thank you very much. Really excited because we're talking today about something that is so, it's almost like the central tenet of customer success. We're going to talk about value-led customer success frameworks. And I'm really excited because this is something that's just never going to not be relevant for customer success professionals of all levels of seniority. But before we get into it, could you please explain to our listeners how you got into customer success? And I guess, I suppose, you know, your overall vision for customer success, that I'm really keen to learn what that's like for you.
Sure, look, you're absolutely right. Value-led customer success frameworks are becoming the central point for all customer success teams across the globe now, apart from just being in the UK where I am. Mm. But I kind of got into customer success by chance, more than anything, through returning from working overseas and found myself into what was customer success around 11 years ago was actually account management. Right. And now that's kind of had a bit of a flip reverse, and that's gone in, the account management piece is now more sales led. But kind of fell into it via industry and into the payroll industry, HR and HCM software space. It kind of then developed the customer success developed from account management to client services, and perhaps even beyond that. I've always worked within a customer type role. Mm. Even from the age of 16, it's been around customer experience and customer excellence and all those great things, and yeah. I seem to just have a passion for it, and it just grew from there. I've been fortunate enough to work for some really fantastic organizations, both globally and domestically, where they put customer success at the center of what they do. And put their customers at the heart of everything that they do around that. And as I said before, it's primarily been in the payroll, HR and HCM space. And it's just something that I really love. Love working with customers, helping them to achieve, you know, value realization and advocacy. And it's just, as I say, just established from there. I kind of follow a bit of a philosophy with customer success, and the people that I've worked and known, I've seen this, and it's a framework that I put together myself, and I call it the five pillars to customer success, and the play on the letter R within that title, because everything begins with the letter R, and it's something that I identified and something that I work towards with every role that I've been in, through senior customer success manager scaling out a UK operation to where I am today as a head of customer success. And and that relates to relationship, retention, revenue, reference, and realization, but the reference being advocacy and realization being value, which we're talking about today. Mm. So it's something that I've set up, and I believe that any CS team can succeed with that framework in place.
That sounds fantastic. I love those. Thank you so much for sharing those. Can't wait to dig into more of those in this episode. So value is, it's one of those terms that you just, there's no way of escaping it in customer success. You know, everything that you should be doing, I guess, for your customers should, you know, it should all be centered on value. But for the purpose of this episode, before we get into sort of the nitty gritties of it, would you mind explaining, I'm a bit of a layperson. Could you explain what does value mean when in relation to business, you know, and obviously wider customer success teams, you know, what does it kind of mean?
Sure. And I think it has different meanings depending on, you know, the industry that you're in, the type of companies you're working with. But I think if you take one of the pillars, which is the value realization piece, and the key word being realization, but I actually flip that round, and what does value mean is a great question. But actually what you need to do first is, what does that mean for your customer?
Right.
What does your customer want to achieve by partnering with you as a business and using your product or service. Because value can mean so many different things. I've had experience where they just wanted a stable solution through COVID. They just want, that's a very simple example, but some want to really look at return on investment, and you really need to pinpoint what your customer wants, and it's all about the customer. And the decision that that customer made to partner with you and your business will have a measurable outcome, no matter what that looks like. It can be financial, it can be around risk mitigation or digital transformation, or could even be around a great colleague or customer experience, their end customer. Someone wants to see the ROI piece around financials, which of course will always remain within customer success, and the return on investment is a very important measure, and it's one that we will all use, especially in this current economical climate that we're in at the moment. People want really real return on investment for their money. But some it can be to save time. Like you talk about the industry that I'm in with payroll and HCM, saving HR and payroll teams time in getting to the end of a payroll cycle is hugely important. They're under the time pressures constantly, whether it's a weekly or monthly or bi-weekly payroll. It's certainly reducing operational risk. How can your software, how can you partner with your customers to reduce risk? So it's customer dependent for sure, right? And it certainly should be about your product and service. What value does it bring to your customers, your customer users, their stakeholders, industry and its peers? And I think having a clear idea of the latter will certainly help in those value discovery conversations at an early stage of a customer journey. But they are all wanting to get a measurable outcome, but it can differ.
Thank you for that. That was perfect. Thank you very much. It's really interesting to me when I speak to customer success professionals like you and get a better idea of what value is and how you go about helping your customers realize value. But I think a huge part of anything is how it's measured. It's very, very well and good talking about value, but I was quite interested to know, how do you effectively measure value realization? Is it a case of, you talk about having introduction calls and sort of understanding what the customer wants, but how do you effectively measure that actual realization of value? Are there any specific metrics you can be looking at? I'm thinking for, maybe new customer success teams who might be listening to this podcast, is it as black and white as that? How can you measure that sort of realization?
It will change from team to team, business to business, and customer set to customer set, right? And I think there are certainly ways you can measure value with metrics such as adoption of your product, overall health score, the stakeholder mapping and the engagement you have with different levels of stakeholders within your customer. But I think sometimes we overcomplicate value realization, and we simply need to, bring that, this is my opinion, and of course there are certainly different theories flying around this, but if you simplify it and start from the ground up, you build a really strong foundation. And I think if you look at the end goal in my view is a value story or a business transformation story. Something that I learned in my time with one of the leading global HCM providers, to turn the quantifiable achieved value into something tangible for your customer to reflect on, to promote, and to see the return in the partnership, and the partnership being the key word here, is what I think is important.
Yeah.
So the way in which I've tracked value in the past and the frameworks in which I've introduced today and in the past also is kind of by splitting this into two really clear avenues. You've got expected value and achieved value. The expected value allows your customer to kind of dictate through strategic initiatives that all customer success teams will be tracking and what they expect to receive in a certain time frame and the achieved is what they have achieved today. So by splitting that out, you can kind of get a good gauge on your engagement with your customer, whether that's on a monthly level, quarterly. You know, we're typically talking on a monthly level from general partnership reviews today within my current role. We're actually looking at from a quarterly focus point of view. What is the quarter focus? What strategic initiatives are you working on as an organization? What's the end goal, the end date? What's the outcome of that initiative? But by splitting it into expected, it allows you to track value. And then once you've tracked it and achieved it, you move it, you physically move it into the achieved section, which will start to build out your story, right? And you can get a lot of this quantifiable value that's been agreed and achieved through your engagement, and you can build out a bigger picture. It will allow the CS team to actually monitor and control customer health and re-pivot with various stakeholders to ensure that they're successful. Now, I think different types of individuals within your customer set will have different levels of value, and you almost have to re-pivot and re-engage with every level of stakeholder that you're speaking to make sure it's right. But ultimately, there's various different metrics you can look at, you know, product adoption, et cetera. But I actually split it into expected and achieved value.
Love that. Thank you very much for that. And I think we did mention something really interesting then. And also in your previous answer, you were talking about your, was it five R's?
Yes.
Could you just repeat which ones they are? Because I haven't jotted them down. It was retention, reference.
It says relationship, retention, revenue. So, you know, the overall revenue of your customer, that upsell, cross-sell, downward churn is something to monitor. You've got referenceability or advocacy, as I like to call it, and realization, which is value realization.
Perfect. No, that's really, really, I think, helpful framework that you've mentioned there. And I think really what I would like to sort of ask you then is customer success frameworks. Would you say that having a value-led customer success framework is possibly the most important kind of tools or ways of helping your customers get to that point, then having a clear set of almost guidelines, you know, to help them get to where they need to be? Would you say for any success team sort of starting out or?
Yeah, I think so. I think value needs to be, you know, certainly front and center of the conversations that you're having. But I think the most important part for me is the relationship side. You can't get to value instantaneously.
No.
This is a partnership. So you put the customer at the heart of what you do and engage and align and advocate for your customer. Value should come naturally.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as long as you're open, I'm a very consistent and open, transparent type of individual. And I think if you reflect that with your customer around value, you can start to have that conversation. So I think it is definitely important to have that within your framework.
Yeah, perfect. I was quite curious to know, you mentioned having initial conversations with your customers, but how do you start to, you know, so let's take your sort of day-to-day, I don't know how many customers you or clients you deal with, but how do you start talking about value with your customers? When should you do that? And how can you sort of introduce that, you know, to the conversation so you can then, you know, monitor it and have those two, expected and achieved two, you know, targets you have?
Yeah, I think the when is a really important part of that, because value-led growth with customers should be from point of sale, right? It should pass all the way through. You should be able to get a gauge of what the value expectation is from your sales team in through implementation, etc. But the way that we approach it, obviously, we'll have standardized governance frameworks with introductory calls, monthly partnership calls, quarterly business reviews, executive business reviews, etc., which I'll mention again later. But I think the first thing to do is to remember this is your customer value, not specifically yours as an organization. And one suggestion that I recently used with my own team today and with customers in the past myself is ask the customer to engage in a value whiteboard session, for example. Okay. There's some great tools out there. So I recently discovered, actually a few weeks ago on Teams, there's a whiteboard tool that you can use live with your customer. And we did it as a team to talk about what value we think our organization brings to our customers. But ask the customers to engage in a value session. Put keywords on a page. What does value look like for them in the partnership? What value do they want to achieve? What does value even mean? Because when you start putting words on a page, it starts to paint a bigger picture. And I'm certainly a visual worker. But then you can evolve it and you can reaffirm kind of what they've pinpointed on that page through various stakeholder engagements. You can begin to track it and you can benchmark their industry, for example. But it's important that you also, as a CS team, lean in on that, make suggestions to your customers, highlight some achievements or highlight some areas within industry where you've had other successes. They don't always see it initially, but use that whiteboard and bring it to the table every time. Allow them to expand from your champion through to your executive sponsor as to what that looks like. It's about the customer, so put them at the center and allow them to talk to you about what value looks like. And if your organization is a step ahead of that, you can then start to position and pivot that into your value drivers that you may have set as an organization. That's one way that we certainly work here.
Perfect. Thank you very, very much. I was curious to know, so this episode is all about value-led customer success frameworks. So very, very quickly, can you just describe to our listeners what a customer success framework is, you know, and what do you need to do, what factors you need to consider to be able to implement particularly a value-led customer success framework and types of steps that need to be taken?
Yeah, I think as a leader, perhaps in customer success, have a vision and a philosophy. I've been doing some mentoring with someone outside of organization around their growth and what their vision for customer success is. Because as I said at the top of the call, I think every business is different. But I think it comes back to my vision and my philosophy. If you can position that correctly, alongside things like a governance framework, you know, who joins, what call, when, what's the outcome of that call, you know, your monthly partnership reviews or your QBRs, etc. You know, really be focused on the deliverable of each call and ask the customers to who engages within those calls, because it's important that you get the right level of stakeholder. Mm-hmm. Have a customer health matrix, right? That's really, really important. And I think go beyond the generic RAG status, the red, amber, green, because I think there's more that businesses can offer around customer health. I certainly have evolved the RAG status into a slightly different twist that gives us a lot more of a definitive approach as to the sentiment of our customer. I think you've got to monitor risk. You've got to have a way of looking at your potential churn. There's the tracking of that risk, there's stakeholder mapping, you know, understanding who your customer is and who you're speaking to. Success plans. Everyone in customer success will tell you how important success plans are, detailing all of the above, but of course, tracking things like NRR, ARR, depending on what you want to focus on. Because that net revenue retention or annual revenue retention is becoming a really big part of customer success now. It's becoming a more financially accountable role. And I think that's going to continue in that world we live in today. And I think with a framework, I think it's just be consistent and be transparent in the approach.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much. I was, again, curiosity hat on. Obviously, value is so central to, I think, as I've said before, every step of customer success. But how do you put value at the very heart of your framework? Because, you know, you mentioned some really, really interesting and I think super useful steps there. But when sculpting out your own either success plan or, you know, framework, how do you make sure that, you know, for your team of customer success managers, value is at every sort of step of the way?
You've got to make it front and center with your customer. Talk about it very early. Talk about it on every engagement possible. Allow them to control and input as well. They want, you know, what they want to achieve. And I think it comes back to, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, because I've used this quote in the past, and it stuck with me for a long, long time. A previous chief customer officer once taught me this about last year, that the majority, but we will say all customers, want to be rock stars too. And we've got to make it about them and advocate for them and provide them a voice to be heard. And I think it's a statement and a comment that stuck with me for the last 12 months. And if you can position your customer and the value that we've achieved as a partnership together, it's going to promote them internally. It's going to promote for more investment. It's going to promote for them to create a bigger picture with you as a partnership. And I think that's how we would put it at the heart of our framework. We make it front and center. We talk about it consistently, but make the customer the rock star. Make it all around that.
Thanks very much. I wanted to get onto this part because I think customer data is obviously there's no way you can avoid it in customer success. You know, it's so much of customer success is obviously about very, you know, human traits, you know, things like empathy, accessibility, you know, the real sort of, you know, I guess I don't want to call them soft skills, but, you know, that is such a huge part of it. But then also you've got to have a degree of, you know, being able to handle the tech side, which is in it. And so much of these insights that, you know, that'll help you deliver value is down to your customer data. So when you're, you know, creating a value-led success plan, success framework, how do you, Haig, how do you like organize your customer data and make sure that you're capitalizing and, you know, using it to the maximum to be able to, you know, help your customers realize value and get to where they want to be and create a fruitful partnership, you know, because data obviously is very important, and I think wherever you look. But I was just curious to know if you have any like hints or tips to really maximize the data.
There are a couple of things that you can do. I think first of all, I think the empathy and the soft skill relationship that you have with people is just as, if not probably more important. I think you know customer success manager conversationalist, you should be able to hold a conversation, and you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be about the product and service that you're using, right? Relationships are built over time. But hints or tips around customer data and how you organize it, that success plans are hugely important. They are a one-stop shop for all things customer. Ensure your stakeholder map is there, their health scores, their financials, any specific salient points that maybe you need to call out to your execs. You can track your value, your initiatives and your projects all through one location. These are like the CSM Bible, a place to collaboratively share customer sentiment and experience with your organization and your customer. It's a place that you can go and track value. So having a really strong success plan would be one tip I would give. There are some fantastic tools out there, and I recently went through a project of reviewing the CS SaaS tool market. There's some fantastic tools out there that you can even do that directly with your customer, have shared success plans that they can input to, you can comment on. And that is the next step of the evolution of customer success. And I'm happy to, if anyone's got any questions to who that particular partner is, I'm happy to put them in touch, because I was kind of blown away by that. And allowing that next step to your customer and you to work on a joint success plan adds that level of transparency that I think all customers want to see, and buys into that soft skill approach. But you know, you can organize your data depending on the type of industry you're in. You know, prioritization of customers? Is that down to brand? Is it down to size? Is it down to ACV, so actual contract value? Is it NRR? It really does depend on the business, but there's lots of different ways you can organize your data.
Thank you very much. And I was wondering, this, you know, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'd absolutely love to pick your brain about, can you provide me and our listeners a real life example from your experience where a value-led customer success framework has significantly improved a customer's experience? You know, I'd love to know, you know, a bit like a case study type.
Yes, absolutely. I won't mention who they are, but I don't do it so much today in my head of role, but in a previous role, working directly with one of the UK's biggest retailers, we began identifying who the stakeholders were and the product set in which they were working to. So I partnered very closely with our sales operations team and the sales counterpart to understand kind of the background of the business. Everyone would know who they were if I was to mention them. But actually more the background into why they invested with us and what their growth plans were. We then kind of leaned into a really strong and structured governance model, which was regular touch points with deliverable outcomes after each of those touch points, which enabled us to understand who the right stakeholders were and who's joining the correct level of conversation. It's not all on the CSM. I think you can bring in, we certainly brought in executives into those conversations as well. Now there's no secret to it, but it takes time. And you have to gain trust through those engagements. Yeah. But we did it, and I certainly done it. I gained a seat at the table and had the opportunity to speak to their exec sponsor and their executives about how we can showcase that achieved value that we tracked and what we talked about earlier. And how that led to their business transformation. And we kind of brought that all to the table, said, look, this is what we've achieved. This is how we've been successful over the last 4 years of the partnership. I came in the last 12 months of that, but we identified it through expected and achieved value. We positioned it. We then built a value story for them with our marketing team. So again, bringing in and acting as that customer advocate to bring in different levels of it, of individual to showcase it. And we took their feedback, we took their commentary, but what we then done is we added on statistics around that. A certain time, the amount of time they spent on our mobile app, for example, was around, I think it was 79 seconds per employee per day.
Right.
Which for an employee of around, I think it's close to 15,000 employees, it's a huge number. Right, so you're positioning you as an organization as well. And we built a business transformation story about how we saved them money, time, we mitigated operational risk. And they've used it internally to promote their internal department as to how important this partnership was.
Perfect, thank you. Going off kilter slightly, I'm really, really interested to know, we've talked about, you know, this, that, wonderful story you just said there, where, you know, they've realized value and they've achieved what they wanted in this sort of, you know, a value-led framework. What's next? Like, once you've got, you know, the case in point there, you know, where would you go? I know, like, I guess account expansion or, you know, upselling, crossing, but, you know, where once you've got a customer in that position where they have achieved value, where what's the next step?
It almost starts again. Right, yeah. The customer want to achieve new and important things through their strategic initiatives, and you just keep building and building and building and building. Now, we look at a quarter focus, we look at a year focus as well, and with this particular example that I mentioned, we were working towards upselling another module within our product, but it's I sort of identifying that white space within them, and white space meaning what other businesses they're using for certain areas of your product that you could lean into. But also it could be things like, can we get them on the stage at our kickoff events? Can we get them to do video advocacy marketing opportunities? It's about being consistent.
Yeah.
And the customer value will be that's what they've achieved. Okay, we've done that.
Mm.
What can we achieve next? What's the next goal? What are you looking to do as an organization that we can support you with? And it's just a continuous cycle. You have to continuously build that trust and continuously identify expected value.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Well, I'm afraid that's probably all we've got time for today, Haig, but thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I think this has been such a really opened my eyes, definitely, but it's, yeah, I think it's something that everybody obviously is aware of. You know, value is always at the center of customer success, but it's been really, really useful. And I think probably very helpful for a lot of our listeners to hear actually how to, you should put it at the center of everything you do, you know, through these frameworks. And I think you've had shared some really, really interesting insights that, I think people are going to be a lot richer for having listened to them. So thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure. If anyone wants to touch base around certain questions, and by all means, reach out. But it's an absolute pleasure to join the podcast today.
Oh, thank you so much. Until next time, thank you very much, Haig.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out our other episodes and go to customersuccesscollective.com for even more customer success related content. You can also join our global community on Slack, and you can find the link to that on the CSC website. But until then, see you next time.